and gentlemen, the Ooze is back.
Yeah. He's so handsome.
Matt.
Why, thank you.
Yeah. You are a little bit older than us.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you just, I mean, like kids media is so, I feel like, hit and miss. Like there's a window of years where you're into, you know, Saturday morning cartoons and shows. Yeah. Were you just kind of past that by this time period?
I wouldn't say I was past it because I was 11 years old when this movie came out. So it seems like it should have been a good time for me, you know? I definitely had a lot of friends that liked Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I will say at the same time, like that was about the age that we were starting to watch like Speed and True Lies and like Schwarzenegger action movies. So maybe there was this idea that like, yeah, maybe we did think that we were too old for it, even though we were only like 11 or 12 years old. You know? and yeah, so maybe just like the goofiness and like the silliness of it was, I don't know, maybe we were trying to appear cooler than we actually were, but. But yeah. No, like I definitely had friends that loved Power Rangers and had the action figures and everything. But for whatever reason, it was not a big part of my life at that time.
Yeah. And you know what's really funny? I think I had Power Ranger underwear. Like I was a kid dressed in Power Rangers merchandise. But beyond the original series, the Mighty Morphin series, I never got into any other rendition. I saw Turbo. And I saw like the changed costumes and I was like, I don't want anything to do with this. So by my 11th year of life, I was not into Power Rangers.
But that makes sense. I mean, that goes exactly in line with Turbo was the third, I think, iteration. I think it went Mighty Morphin Zeo and Turbo, or it went Mighty Morphin Turbo Zeo. I don't know. I'm obviously more worse, but that a big problem with Turbo was that was the last time the original, other than Tommy, a lot of the original cast was aging out. And they in fact added a child Blue Ranger because the fan base was aging out. And they were noticing that. And so they needed to like, oh, we need to get the younger fan base back in. So I think you are a, what exactly happened to you was actually an indicator of what was happening collective wise.
Wow.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're all old now, so who gives a,
I know now we have more in common with the adults, in the movie.
Not much has changed in 6,000 years.
You obviously don't know who you're dealing with, Mr. Raisinhead.
Really?
Yeah, we're the Power Rangers.
Woo! Where's my autograph book? Ah! Power Rangers, huh? So, Zordon still using a bunch of kids to do his dirty work. Well, meet my kids.
It's wild.
Which is interesting because you wouldn't, people would be surprised. There's deep lore here. There is continuity to respect. When I was doing my little YouTube nostalgia trip, like Power Rangers has had their own like Avengers Endgame reunion episodes, bringing back like all the series, and they bring back the actors.
Sorry, Armando or Vincent, do you know like why the the lore is a little bit different in the movie than in the TV series? Is it just because they were sort of like kind of rushing into production so quickly on the movie that they like weren't able to sort of like align it with the ongoing mythology of the series? Or was it kind of just like, let's throw this movie together and like maybe not give it a lot of thought? Or do you know like why that was?
Yeah,
that
makes sense. I'm not entirely sure. I mean, I have like a cynical short answer, which is like, there's a product line desired to be sold here.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things that happen in the movie that I go, ooh, I don't know how to explain this other than that makes a great toy. but we might get into that later. But I think the long and short is, I don't know why I decided to break continuity.
That's a great point about like the commercial times and the toys and everything. I read that like the director and I think maybe the writers as well, like were not very familiar with the series and kind of just like did a quick brush up before they made the movie. So I'm sure maybe that's part of the reason why
I think you can reasonably make an argument that the producers behind the Power Rangers series were just simply not interested in being specific about their creative choices. Merchandise was such a huge moneymaker, and they easily replaced actors because they didn't want to spend money on them. So I don't think anyone lost sleep over it. Legacy wise, you know, I can't fault the creative team because I think they created something truly, truly interesting to watch even 20 odd years later. But now that I'm older and wiser and also work in the entertainment business, it's hard to reconcile the fact that they were being taken advantage of. They were working in unsafe conditions and being paid criminally low wages.
And for how big the series had gotten, I would, as a child, I would have put it at the same tier as Pokemon for a time. It was like, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It was Turtle Mania. It was Ranger Mania. Like, it was big.
You're screeching. How did you fare?
It couldn't have gone better.
Threw one of them off a mountain, went into a raging river.
So, they've all been destroyed.
Well, we were about to destroy them.
What?
But...
you didn't kill them. You call yourself Tengu warriors? You are like Tengu Turkeys. Oh. You all stuffed and roasted.
But Master, there was this monster with these huge sticks. It kept twirling them around.
Sticks? Did these sticks have a whistling sound?
Well, it was more like nails on a chalkboard.
Dalcia, that miserable, manipulating, loathsome she-devil of a witch. If she leads them to the great power, everything will be ruined.
Do you want us to take another whack at it?
How about taking another quack at it?
Also on that planet, Phaedos, where they go to kind of resurrect their powers, I think there's some really good like background and matte effects where we see like this like, you know, wondrous scenery, like a vast jungle and like a monolith in the distance, which looks really good. Those also are not CGI, but are sort of like a painted backdrop, which are very colorful. I feel like in general, I prefer the scenes set on Phaedos to those set on Earth in this movie. Like, I feel like the sense of like scope and wonder on Phaedos is a little bit more convincing than the kaiju fights towards the end of this. Because you're right, it doesn't seem like there's like a lot at stake. And the bad CGI is certainly, you know, a big part of the reason why that's the case, I think. I feel like there's a little bit of overlap, too, between monster movies and Kung Fu. Although, like, I mean, obviously, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers is a good example. But we'll try to come up with some others to hopefully talk about in the future, too.
Yeah, we can make it work. We can definitely make it work.
From this moment forth, the world as you know it shall cease to exist. Welcome to my nightmare.
I was trying to look up Ivan Ooze quotes because he says a lot of famous movie lines. Like he riffs on, "I love the smell of napalm in the morning." And those were
he does say when he sees the Zords coming in from the sky, he says, "Inconceivable."
That is the specific line where I went, okay, now it's too obvious. Like, we can all make an Apocalypse Now joke. Like, that line has entered pop culture, whatever. The inconceivable line is so on the nose. Like, I don't know.
No, I was like, what? I did not know this reference, but this is like unsubtle.